This is Wells Tech, a show that explores the intersection of technology and ministry. Wells Tech is a part of the Streams Media Network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net.
Hello, welcome to Wells Tech, everybody. This is episode 356 for Tuesday, August 26th, 2014. Show where we talk about technology and ministry. And really the whole point of all this is to find those things that are going to help you in your personal or professional ministries. So glad you joined us. We do this every Tuesday at 4 o'clock and right alongside my faithful companion, Sally Draper. Hi, Sally.
Good afternoon, Martin. Happy to be joining you. And welcome to a brand new school year from Martin Luther College. They had the beautiful opening service yesterday, installed maybe 7 or 8 new faculty members here. It was definitely a day of rejoicing, and the students are back and in full swing.
Yep. You get all those green behind the ears instructors and tutors, and they don't look a lot older than the students.
That's true.
That's
but
great,
yeah,
that they're taking that first step in their ministries. That's just a neat thing.
Fresh perspectives for sure.
Yep. Cool. So yeah, that is the season. Although you're gonna have to wait till next week when we talk about classroom kinds of things on our show. And that'll be the last show that we do in our summer series, where we're focusing on taking the stuff that we had on the old Wells Tech Wiki, which was useful, but was getting a little, rough around the edges. Needed an update, so we decided to make that our summer project. Take a little piece at a time, and we've been methodically going through every area and kind of moving stuff over to the new platform, which is on a Google site now. Google Apps, wait a minute, wellstechwiki.gapps.wells.net is the location. There's a little button there that says, what does it say, sign up now, something like that.
It says request an account.
That's request an account. That's what I meant. Mm-hmm. And then you will get an email back from Sally that says, hey, you're good to go, and then you can contribute your own content. And that's really the point of this, Sally, is to get as many people as possible into the site contributing their good stuff to share with everybody else.
You know, and that just is a perfect lead-in to the fact that I need to point out that we have some new information on the site. We recently talked about child care management software, and our wiki page was a little bare. We had a little bit of information there, but our friend Ben Colzine did some edits on the page. He requested an account. He told us about the child care software that they chose, which is called Cake Child Care. It was far and away the lowest cost. $5 a month. It had some great apps for check-in and check-out and an in-classroom kiosk app, and it seemed to have quite an active following and client list. So kind of went through that, but then he didn't stop there. He showed a list of all the different software that they reviewed and pros and cons, kind of their evaluation of each of them. So
that's awesome. That's exactly
valuable.
The kind of stuff we're after. Yep.
Yeah. So I was excited to read this, Ben, and thank you for your contributions. I'm sure there are others who are going to rush right over to the wiki to check out this page. We'll include a link directly to the page in our show notes.
Yep. Now, the way this works is just like a regular wiki. If you want to go in and make some edits or add your own comments, just note it as such so that people can get a balanced view. If you've got other experiences or updates, maybe some inaccurate information is there and you want to update that, go ahead and do that. That's the whole point. We want to get good information on the site. So, Sally, what are we working on today?
The topic du jour, planning and policy. Don't get your pillows yet, folks, because I know that might sound kind of dull, but we do have some really great resources. I'm excited to share the resources we have here because it's an area that's very, very important.
And quite popular, actually. There's a lot of, even though it may be dull, There's a lot of questions on just these kinds of things. What kind of planning documents are available? What kind of policies should we put in place, especially in the society in which we live, and the whole social networking thing, which brings a whole nother dimension to how we manage our websites and how we manage our users, and you know, if you're in a school situation, all that stuff. So lots of interest here, and it's an important section.
Yeah, and we started right off the bat with that code of conduct kind of topic, where we have some resources shared with us, guidelines for staff use of technology resources. So we talk a lot about acceptable use for students and what they can and cannot do on the internet while they're at school and that kind of thing. But this is kind of an acceptable use policy that one congregation has put in place for their staff, just to be very forward thinking about what's appropriate for staff use of technology. So right. Great policy to have in your tool belt.
And important, very timely, as school is starting, this is probably a policy you need to have in place, as it might govern or should govern how your staff works in Facebook, who should be their friends. Is it okay to have a student that's a friend, a former student that's a friend? Those kinds of questions should be laid out, not just for legal reasons, but for just good order and just to make sure that nobody really gets upset, because whenever you deal with children, that can be a very, very difficult topic and a hot topic. So you want to be careful there.
Yeah, social media in particular is something that we heard from Sally Valesky about in summer of 2013, she shared some information about Church Mutual, the insurance company. They have actually a whole series of webinars on different topics, liability risks for religious organizations, protecting your congregation against an active shooter, I mean, just a variety of things. And one of those topics in particular was social media, best practices for congregations and teen ministries. And they've actually gone through the process of, you know, putting together material on this topic, and we have some of that linked on the wiki, but you can actually go here to the webinar page and view the video from that webinar and download the slideshow if you want to make use of it in your own setting or whatever. So really great information about social media best practices.
Great. Next one, next section that we have is simply called communications. And this whole area is kind of dedicated to how a congregation or school, I suppose, could benefit from setting up some kind of formal strategy for communications. And I'm just talking about promotions. This could be internal, external communications. But the long and the short of it is we've got a couple of documents there that we put together and some examples that talk about how to maybe establish or what to look for in a communications committee. Something, a group that could be put together that would serve the needs of various boards or different groups within the congregation, and what kind of the makeup that committee should be and what kind of things they could do. So this, I would look forward to maybe other people's input to this area as they think about how best to do promotion. And it's not, again, just outreach. It's not just the evangelism committee's job, but I think in general it's good for a congregation to think about how they communicate with everybody.
Right, and maybe you'd think communication isn't a technology topic, but I find more and more groups, congregations, schools, even us at the Synod, that pair communication and technology. They work together really closely. Certainly you still are going to do the traditional forms of communication, or you may continue to do print newsletters or printed bulletins or whatever the case may be, but in this day and age, websites, e-newsletters, social media sites, all of those kind of things have to figure into communication planning, and that's where that tech-savvy person is going to have a lead role. So definitely a consideration.
Very good.
What's next? Lectionary on Google Calendar is next. One of my favorite topics, Martin.
That's your sweet spot, Sally.
Yeah. Wait for it. And I don't even remember how this came about, but we've had a Google Calendar available for probably 5 or 6 years now that has the complete Christian worship lectionary series, including the the supplemental readings from the Christian Worship Supplement. And so in calendar format for each Sunday and major festival of the year, you can see lessons and psalms, prayer of the day, verse of the day, hymn of the day, church year color, all that information. I'll share my screen. Those of you that watch in the video can actually see an example because I have...
While she's doing that, if you are watching live, feel free to ask a question. There's a little ask a question or Q&A button there. Just click on that, type in your question or comment. We'd be glad to address it on the air.
So here's an example of an event on the lectionary calendar, and just as I said, it has all the readings, the supplemental lectionary. It actually has the prayer of the day typed out and the verse of the day typed out, so you could copy and paste from him here right into your bulletin if desired. It has the hymns of the day and that kind of thing included. And I shouldn't have hit my back button, but what you'll notice is that it's integrated right here with my personal Google Calendar. It's a calendar I have available to me, and you could integrate it with your church calendar or whatever your desire is, wherever it's useful to you. So on this page of the wiki, we actually have ways to view the calendar, to add the calendar to your own personal Google Calendar, and also to embed it and use it with an existing church calendar. So lots of options here, examples of the calendar on a website, all of that kind of stuff. So you can see different ways that you could make use of the calendar. And here's a little trick for you. This is not my tip of the week, but I'll just throw it in there, that anytime you're viewing a Google Calendar in whatever format, if it's shareable, you can click the little Google Calendar icon that's in the lower right corner, and that will add it to your calendar. It's already on mine, so it didn't need to add it this time, but that's the trick, an easy way to get the Google Calendar integrated with your own.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Google Calendar, very powerful. During our final web classes, we recommend it, in fact, over the built-in calendar. Just has a lot more flexibility, and just the approach that they take is a good one as far as being able to collaborate on calendars, and it's totally embeddable and configurable, so lots of different options there. But here's an example of one with lots of content pre-built that may be useful for you.
All right, time to jump to our privacy page. Privacy is a topic, I don't know about you, Martin, but I get a lot of questions on privacy. I know that people want to be respectful and handle privacy issues correctly. And I guess in terms of privacy, I think of putting people's pictures on your church or school website, putting children's pictures, putting children's names, those kind of things that might raise red flags in terms of privacy. And actually, there was a pretty robust discussion of this out on the Wells Tech listserv a while back, and we captured a lot of that discussion here on the wiki. And in addition, people submitted and shared their consent forms that they have people sign. Even adults in the congregation, they can ask for their consent to use their images and their work. And then another person shared a school's publicity policy and FERPA information and directory information, and then the form that they have parents sign off on indicating whether they grant permission or not for different sharing of this child's photo or personal information. So great examples here to use as a guide, and we'd love to add to that list of forms available for people to reference. So if you have one you want to share, please do add it to the wiki.
Just a reminder here, if you haven't been following along with the entire summer series, you may ask, well, is this where you put the copyright kinds of information? Because we get a lot of those kinds of questions as well. And we do have a whole copyright section. I believe it's under a communication category, which we covered, you know, a number of weeks back. There's a whole copyright section, talked about NIV Bible guidelines, I believe, and then all kinds of copyright resources. So that's really not what we're talking about here, even though that is kind of a policy. These kinds of policies are ones that you would write and, publish and make sure you're abiding by.
Next up in this section, Martin, are two categories, school technology planning and then something called technology planning, which I think is pretty much geared more toward church or the entire organization. But both of them are very similar. It has to do with putting down on paper what your goals are for your technology in your setting. And, benchmarks and different things like that. So there are examples of technology plans on the website and some good feedback associated with those as well.
Yeah, both of these areas could, you know, have plenty of room for a lot of samples, and I know a lot of congregations and a lot of schools have technology plans. If you'd be willing to share those, that would be great. You know, the more the merrier here, so that we've got a nice sampling of different approaches, maybe different formats, things that maybe you didn't think about that somebody else did. So this takes all of, you know, 5 minutes to get an account and then upload your plan right to the page, maybe make a couple comments. That would be awesome. Last but not least, Sally, is worship planning materials. And when we're talking about worship planning materials, we're thinking, I think, about templates, those kinds of things, like a worship folder, those kinds of things that could be shared, right?
Right, and I think there's a lot of work that goes into, you know, determining the hymns for the week and sharing that with the appropriate people and things like that. I know some congregations use websites for their worship planning among all their worship team, and so if you have experience like that or software that you recommend for doing that type of worship planning, we could certainly contain it here too, but we'd love to add to this section as well. I think that's kind of a theme this summer, Martin, is that we'd like to have more on the wiki, so that depends on our listeners.
Yep. Blank slate in some cases, and that's okay, and there, we'll probably add more as we go, and that's a good point too. If you have some content you're not sure where it goes, we can create a spot for that. So let us know that, and we'll try and organize it as such so that we can bring that in. And we all know that technology changes, and we thank our Lord that He provides opportunity for its use. We just have to figure out a place to put it on our wiki. So that's a small problem.
That's right. So you mentioned earlier, and I can't say that I'm not very excited to be wrapping up the work on the wiki with next week's show. And next week's show is the school technology section of the wiki, where we'll talk about different classroom technology and different learning management software. So I know this is a huge area, and hopefully we can do it justice with the resources we have on the wiki. But if you're a teacher and you have educational technology resources you want to share, do it in advance of next week's show. We'll encourage you this week to go out and take a look at the wiki, because I know there's a lot of great tools to include here.
We're just going to tie a big old bow on the top of this whole wiki thing, and hopefully it grows from there.
There you go.
Good way to end it. All right, let us move on to our tips of the week. And believe it or not, Sally, my tip is about Facebook.
Oh, your favorite place.
Well, next to Pinterest. So I'll give you a little glimpse of my my Facebook page, just a little corner of it. Couple things. One thing you've probably known is as you add friends and as you like pages, the feed that you get, the news feed that you get, maybe gets a little out of control. I mean, that's where I was, Sally, when I kind of went whole hog and said, I'm going to make this useful. The problem is it got too noisy and I didn't get much out of it. So I was getting all kinds of stuff that I really wasn't that interested in. What I've learned over time is that if you train Facebook, it's a much better experience. And many of you probably don't know that you can actually train it, just like some of the other social networks. But the way to do that is if you see a post like I have here on the screen, it's just a video from an aquarium, you notice that in every post there is a little downward facing arrow in the upper right corner. If you click on that, you have the ability to select a number of items. One is, I don't want to see this, so that would actually make it disappear. And that would give Facebook a little signal that you're not interested in this kind of content. And how they determine what content that is, I'm not totally sure. There's a little bit of behind-the-curtain stuff going on. But I do know that if you're persistent in hiding things or checking this little box here, it does improve the quality of your feed. You can also report a post, so if you think it's spammy, you can unfollow somebody right from there, so you don't even have to go to their profile page. Or you can hide everything from that particular site or area that, let's say, she was sharing from in this case. You can say get notifications, and then finally, you can take a survey to make the news feed better. And I'd encourage you to do that because I've found that that is helpful as well. So you have a bunch of options there to improve the quality of the feed. Send Facebook a few signals about what you're interested in. Sometimes if there's an ad that comes up, and ads are part of Facebook because it's a free service and they have to live, you can say, I'm not interested in this ad, and actually improve the quality of the ad. So if you have to see ads, you might as well make them tolerable, so to speak. And some might even be useful if you're persistent enough in saying, hey, I don't want to see that ad for Tide detergent anymore. I don't do the laundry, etc. Okay? That's part one of my tip. Part two is you may have noticed that when you're going to Facebook these days, if there is a video, it may auto-start. I don't know if you've noticed that, Sally, in your feed. Mm-hmm. But there are videos that just kind of start playing. Now, not the audio, but just the video will start to loop. And that can be really annoying depending on what the subject matter is. And there's an easy way to get rid or to stop that autoplay. And that's simply by going into your settings. So there's a little down arrow in the upper right corner of the entire Facebook experience. And then go to settings. And then on the left side, you see general, security, privacy, timeline, blocking. All the way at the bottom is an item called videos, and it says autoplay videos on or off. And if you want to not have that autoplay in play, so to speak, you can just go ahead and turn that off, and then you are in good shape. So just a little tip to get that autoplay to stop playing.
So I have a follow-up tip to your autoplay tip, because I just read recently that the autoplay is potentially draining cell phone battery
life. That's true, and that's a good point, because just because you do it on the web doesn't turn it off on the phones. You have to go into the phones app or iPads app and turn it off there.
Yeah, I actually read to go into your settings, not just in the Facebook app, but in your settings, and turn it, you can set it to do it over Wi-Fi. Let's say you want to keep it or whatever, but not allow it to do it over your data connection.
Right, you do have a little control there, right.
So, anyway, nuances. Martin, the Facebook expert. I'm so impressed.
It's been about exhausted what you know about Facebook at this point. So, yeah, Julia commented, yeah, I noticed that and I don't like it. And she's not alone, so. Mm-hmm. Sally, your tip of the week, or was that it?
No, that wasn't it.
I give you credit for that if you want to save this one. So,
I just wanted to point to a post I read on Mashable this week. It's titled Chromebook 2014 Review, Samsung, Dell, and Toshiba Deliver Lean Laptops. They're calling the Chromebook a lean laptop. It's actually a very favorable review of Chromebooks and the fact that they have kind of come into their own and can be seen as a reasonable alternative to an expensive laptop. Price range, $200 to maybe $400, depending on the model that you get. And you get a pretty robust computer. They compare battery life, screen size, and a lot of different things. The middle of the road, I'm trying to scroll down. The middle of the road one, I think it's the Dell that they like the best. I read this article, but now I'm not remembering. Yeah, I think it was definitely the Dell that was kind of their top pick, their Mashable choice. But they like the Chromebook too, the Samsung Chromebook too, because it has a larger display. Just it's more pricey and a little bit slower. But if you want the great display, it makes a very good laptop alternative. So if you're in the market for something new, it might be time to give the lightweight Chromebooks a chance and see if they can satisfy your computing needs.
The lean machines. They have come a long way since some of those early models, Sally, and they're better battery life. The screens are better. The keyboards are better. So really good alternative. I don't know if it's a great alternative for somebody in a business environment yet, but I do think certainly for students, certainly with schools that are into Google Apps, that really seems like the place that Google's spending a lot of time with the development of the whole ecosystem.
Definitely. All right, I have a pick of the week as well. It's a new app, and I picked it specifically because there's an iOS and a Google Play version of this app. It's called packpoint.com. The URL is a little tricky, packpnt.com. And the goal of the app is to help you pack for upcoming trips. What's cool about it is you put in the location you're traveling to and the dates you're traveling, and one thing it provides for you is weather information about that date range. So for me, I went to the app and put in my upcoming trip to Michigan because I'm going to be in Michigan for teacher conference. And I didn't know what the weather would be like in early October, so I put in those dates. And then it does a whole suggestion. So here is the list that I got back from PackPoint app. It tells me that Saginaw is got a daytime temperature average of 55, range of 48 to 62 degrees. So I have an idea of what to expect weather-wise. And then you can choose different categories that you're packing for. So I told it working, and it told me to remember my laptop and my laptop charger and my work badge and my business cards. And I told it business casual attire, so it suggested different things I'd need to pack. And then it has just kind of an essentials list with pain relievers and pajamas and toothbrush and toothpaste and all kinds of things, just a good checklist for you to go by. It shows it to you on the app screen, but then you have the option of emailing it to yourself. And when you receive the email, it gives you this link where they've stored it online for you. So you can also, you know, save the online link and reference it from there. Or maybe you want to collaborate with your packing efforts or whatever. Then you have a link you can share with your partner who's going on your trip with you. So just a nifty app, I think, just to help me not forget things. Packpoint.com.
Free, I assume.
It is free for both iOS and Android.
Cool. I like it. I use TripIt, and it has kind of integration with some of the travel services with airlines and rental cars and hotels and that kind of stuff. It monitors your email. We've talked about it in the past. It does, too, tell you the weather, but it does not give you kind of the packing list. So notice there was not a sweater on that list for Saginaw in October.
Actually, the very last thing said heavy jacket.
Oh, heavy jacket. Yeah. You skipped right over the sweater, right?
That's right. It says heavy jacket. I kind of laughed at that. So.
Oh, that is funny. I suppose it depends on how warm your blood is, too. Maybe
sure.
That's a signal you can give it that will create that next time. All right, so it's up to me for, by the way, Julia responded again. She said, thank you. I just turned it off, referring to the autoplay video in Facebook. Too many ALS ice bucket challenges in my feed.
There have been a lot of those.
I relate to that, yes. first few were kind of cute, but they overwhelmed me at some point. Mm-hmm. All right, my pick of the week is also an app, and this app is called Push Bullet. It's an app for both iOS and Android, although I use an Android phone at this point. Basically what it does is it syncs up or allows your browser, your Chrome browser in particular, to communicate with your phone or other devices. Download the app onto your phone. You download the Chrome extension onto your computer, laptop. I work on a tablet as well. And then what it allows you to do is get information back and forth. For instance, if your phone gets a text message or a phone call and maybe it's not on you at the moment, maybe you set it in the other room or whatever, and you're at your computer, it will give you a little pop-up that says, hey, you have a text message, or you had a phone call, or have a voicemail. So there you have it right on your computer, even though your phone isn't right there. You can always use it to send files from your computer to the phone. So You don't have to plug it in or sync it or email it to yourself. It's a quick, I'll demonstrate it in a minute. It's a quick couple mouse clicks to get a file, image, whatever, up to 25 megabytes from your computer over to your phone or tablet. You can send links. You can send maps. It's really a cool tool. You kind of see, if you're looking at home, all the things that it supports. So on the mobile platform, it's Android and iPhone. On the desktop, Windows. Mac is coming soon, although I use it on a Mac, so I'm not sure it's still coming because it's here. Maybe it's the desktop version, not the browser-based version. But really, all I need is the browser version, and it works on Chrome and Firefox. So I've got it loaded up here, and you just need to log in. You get this little interface on the screen, but it also works with contextual menus. So like when you right-click on a file, it'll give you a push bullet option on the Windows platform. So I could send a message to myself. I could send a link. I could send an attachment. Has to be smaller than 25 megs. I could send a list to myself, could be a grocery list or whatever, and I could send a map. So I would just send it a street address, a place, or name of a location. So if I wanted to send a file, I would just click on the button that says to, and it says, well, where do you want to send it to? I could send it to my browser, I could send it to my tablet, or I could send it to my phone. So I'm going to go ahead and send it to my phone. I would click here, I would grab the file that I want to send. Let's say that you're probably not seeing this, but it opened up a little pop-up, and I just selected a file, so just a little picture, and then you just push it. And in a matter of seconds, that was less than a second on my screen, and I'll go back to my video here. Came up on my phone, and my notification window just shows me the picture that I sent in notifications. I just tap on it, open it, and there it is on my phone. And all I have to do is, I can do anything I want. That now that it's on my phone, I could save it to the phone, I could send it or share it to somebody else, I could edit it on the phone, anything that I wanted. So if it were a PDF or some other document, then that's an easy way to send it as well. So that is called PushBullet, totally free. Works on a lot of different platforms. I think there's a lot of uses for this. It's been around a while, and I've heard other people recommend it, but it was just the other week or two that I got around to installing it and really found it useful. So that's my pick of the week.
Super cool, Martin. I don't know if the people that listen have a split personality like me, but I spend a lot of time logging in and out of different accounts and trying to get things from here to there. And so I think that might be useful to simplify my life.
Simplify your life, yep.
Yeah.
It's a really useful utility. So,
all right.
Let's remind everybody about our Wells Tech Conference coming up next year, July 9th through the 11th, right here in Waukesha, Wisconsin at Country Springs Hotel and Resort. They have a nice water park there, beautiful facility. We're doing 3 days of technology stuff, technology and ministry stuff. Right now, the registrations are not open yet, but what we are looking for are presenters. So if you have a technology and ministry topic that you think might be useful and something that you're willing to share and lead a workshop on, we're looking at 50-minute workshops on days 2 and 3. That's the July 10th and 11th. And we have a form for you to fill out. We have until the end of September, and we're going to close these presenter suggestions and then make some selections and then get an agenda together. Wells.net/WellsTechConf. That's Wells.net/WellsTech, C-O-N-F. And there's a call for presenters tab there. Just click on that. Enter your information. There's no guarantee that that'll make the list, but if it is selected, you'll get free conference registration, which is about a $200 value. So please consider that, especially if you have something to share.
Excellent. All right, I think it's time for community feedback. And right off the bat, I want to point you guys to the Wells Tech Listserv, which is an email group. If you aren't a member, maybe you want to consider joining it because there's a lot of expertise out there on the Wells Tech Listserv. Just recently, Norbert Langbecker from Mount Calvary in Flagstaff, Arizona, asked a question about web-based maintenance logs. So this is a typical thing that a church and school deals with. There are things that need to be maintained. Light bulbs go out, or paper towels need to be changed out, or whatever the issue is. And they typically have a little pad of paper. You got to walk up and write it down on the maintenance log for people to know what needs to be fixed. And instead, in Norbert's congregation, apparently they were tracking it in an Excel spreadsheet. But Norbert was looking to collaborate, to put it on the web so that everyone could have access and contribute to the maintenance log and see the maintenance log. And so that's the question he posed to the listserv. And interestingly, I think he got five or six responses just right away. So lots of people had ideas for Norbert. The most popular one, you want to guess, Martin? Maybe you read the emails already.
Google something.
Google Drive, that's right. Use a spreadsheet on Google Drive and share it with whomever needs access to it. But other people suggested Spiceworks and using Excel online or the Office 365 online option as well.
Good answer.
So, yeah, so thanks everyone for your contributions on the listserv, and please take advantage of it. It's a great tool.
Yep. There's a link to it on our show notes page right at the top, so take advantage.
Pastor Rob Gunther sent us a couple of emails, one I'm playing catch up on because I think I missed it last week. But the first one is specific for today. Today is Tuesday, August 26th, and for this day only, Amazon is giving away the ebook, The Flames of Rome, by author Paul Meyer, for free. I already got a copy. I don't know if you grabbed a copy or not, Martin, but normally it retails for $16.99. Have you read Paul Meyer's works at all?
I have not.
He's a very popular historical Christian author. He writes with real historical facts and built in, and helps you understand the time. And in this case, he takes you to Rome, and at the time when Christianity was just starting, things were in not the greatest shape in Rome. And it also talks about Paul being imprisoned there and why he had to wait 2 years for a trial and all the things around that. So excellent novel, and Pastor Gunther recommends it. And at the same time, this gospel ebooks also had noted that Pontius Pilate was free yesterday. We missed that one, but right now the price is just $2.99 for Pontius Pilate, another book by Paul Meyer. So check those out. If you're listening today, then hop on over to the link, or just search Amazon for the link if you're not finding it, and get a free copy of Flames of Rome.
Not available in for free in good old analog format, by the way, Sally.
No, this is just the ebook.
Just digital.
Oh, are you digging on me? Is that what that was about? Yeah, you and Rob both. He fits
so quick on the uptake.
Yeah, I'm real sharp. Thanks, Martin. Friends, okay.
Rob kind of intimated that in his email. I just wanted to accentuate that portion of it.
Yeah, he did.
His fault.
Okay.
He made me do it. Last but not least.
This isn't last, but I'll keep going. This is from Rob Gunther as well. Like I said, a little bit of an older one. He has been reading The 4-Hour Work Week. Boy, if I could get done in 4 hours, a week's worth of work, wouldn't that be something? But another productivity kind of take, and he says he's not buying everything they're saying necessarily. Interesting read, but one thing they recommended was Egg Timer. It's eggtimer.com. And I think we've talked about this before on the show, Martin. It looks familiar to me.
We have, but it looks like it's been updated.
Yeah, so basically you can just start a timer. You can put in the length of time you want to time. So if you want 30 seconds or whatever, click the go button, and it'll start counting down. And when it's done, it'll buzz for you.
Yeah.
There's even a link here with options where you can say whether you want it to beep or ring or how loud you want it to be and things like that.
Great for classrooms. Great for teachers.
Yeah.
A little back-to-school gift for you teachers.
There you go. Eggtimer.com. All right. Then there are a couple of links that I shared via Digo. Last week, my pick of the week was Powtoon's education accounts, where teachers can get a free account for themselves and up to 60 students, and this is their PayFAR account that's normally, I think, $97 a year. Today, they announced that they have some back-to-school templates in the work, and they've released one that looks very education-oriented, and they did a demo video where the teacher's kind of introducing herself and telling the class how excited she is to be there and how much fun they're going to have during the school year and things like that. So it gives you a feel for this brand-new template, all these education kind of things, Blackboard backgrounds and cute teachers and school buses and all kinds of stuff. So cool. Check that out with your new Powtoon education account. And then just before we went on the air, I saw a link to this article. Apparently Google Slides is now available for iPad as of yesterday. And someone's already written a review, the good, the bad, and the ugly. I think it's a great start, he says, but there's definitely some things missing from the iPad app. So check out this review, and perhaps you want to try out Google Slides on the iPad.
Because there's some things missing in the online version, too, so it should not be a surprise. Good, solid tool. But so apparently there was no app, so this is an app for iPad, not just the web version.
Correct.
You could use it via iPad on Safari.
Through the browser.
Through the browser, yeah.
This is different.
All right, Sally, how do people give us feedback?
You know, that's a great question, Martin. And we have a website to answer that question. It's called WellsTech. WellsTech.wells.net is the address. When you visit the site, along the top, there's all kinds of social media buttons because we're just all over the place. And we'd love for you to communicate with us via Google+, Facebook, Twitter, Digo, Pinterest, or the WellsTech Wiki or listserv. We also have the ability to comment on any page. There's links for commenting. And over in the right sidebar, there's a link to send a voicemail, so you can actually send us a voicemail and we can play your comment on air.
Talk to us. We'd love it. Closing out our show this week is our featured video. All along this summer, we've been creating or building up playlists on our YouTube channel. And what do we have this week, Sally?
It's a fun video. It's geared toward teachers in the beginning of school. The title of the video is Kid President's Pep Talk to Teachers and Students. So it's a young boy who just lays it on the line what everybody's responsibilities are for the new school year, and really will psych up your class if you want to play it.
Inspirational, I'm told.
There you go. So fun stuff.
Thanks, Sally. Good work as always, and thanks everybody who tuned in. Just a reminder, every Tuesday, 4 o'clock Central Time is when we do the recording. You're welcome to join us live, but if not, we're so happy that you either downloaded or are watching this on the web. Audio, video, it's on iTunes, it's on Stitcher. It's in as many places as we can get it, so it's great that you take advantage of us. And share the good news that this is available. We've done this 365 times. And,
maybe 356. Got dyslexia today.
356?
65, 56, something
feels
like
that. Feels like 300. It's actually flown by. So.
That's right.
But we're glad that you are tuning in each week and share the fact that this is happening, because the more the merrier. Thanks for joining us today, and we'll talk to you next week.